Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Who Lead, and I am delighted to say that today we've got a really interesting topic, and I'm going to say it's hashtag values, the secret to top-level performance in business and life. And with us today, I want to tell you a little bit about our leading lady. And with me is Dr. Betty Uribe, and she is the Executive Vice President of California Bank and Trust. And a few things you should know about Betty is she's just come out with a new book called Hashtag Values, and we're going to talk about some of these secret things to top-level performance in business and life. But she is a sought-after, dynamic, bilingual, bicultural, international speaker, consultant, coach, and author. She's a recognized authority on the psychology of leadership, organizational turnarounds, and peak performance. She has many honors. One of them I just found out this morning, kind of exciting. She will be at the White House next week for the inauguration of our new president, along with the Vatican in short order. So, Betty, I want to say welcome to our show and say hello to all of our listeners today.
Hello, Michelle. It's such a pleasure to be with you today.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you on the show because, you know, as a recovering banker, let me call that, I get excited when I see bankers who are going down an entrepreneurial path, but your book is amazing, and I've been reading it since I got a copy of it, I guess an advanced copy, I'm understanding. I didn't know that, so I feel very special to get a copy of your book. Woo!
Yeah, they call it a galley copy. It's kind of like the pre-copy. I won't be able to see the actual copy until it comes out next week. So
very
I'm excited.
Cool. Well, and, you know, I love the title of the book, Hashtag Values. So I'm really curious for you. It's like, you know, the concept and the inspiration of the book, because there's a lot of leadership information, great slices of advice from amazing leaders internationally. I mean, you know, we're talking military leaders and, you know, executive level leaders and decision makers. But what was the kind of, you know, kind of concept of the book and mission when you first thought of the idea?
When I first thought about the topic was when I was doing my dissertation, and around that time, if you think about when the economy started coming down, we saw leaders in all facets of life who had been at the top of their game, and then all of a sudden they fell. If you recall, Michelle, around 2007, there were people from government, academia, sports, even clergy, who were absolutely at the top. And so what I found was the commonality between those individuals was in the decisions they made. And so I sought out to look for role models for our children to grow up with, because all the role models kept falling. And I focused my dissertation on values. Basically, what I wanted to do was raise up role models and find them. In three different areas, in military, high-level generals in the military, CEOs of financial services, and CEOs of entrepreneurial organizations. And I wanted to get to the very highest levels of leadership, because they're the ones that create culture, they're the ones that permeate those values through their organization, and they're the ones that actually lead and create those high-performing organizations.
They're also the ones that have lack of sleep from all of the obsessing that they have 24/7, right? All the things that they live
yes.
and eat and breathe, what their values are and their vision. I mean, they're busy people. So you reach the top level. I mean, so I'm really curious with this whole book. I mean, what does hashtag value stand for in maybe a more detailed way? Because you talk a lot about values-based leadership in your book. So kind of give us a little bit of an overview of where you started on that with your central theme. But what is values-based leadership?
When you think about a values-based leader, my definition is a leader whose actions are congruent with their values. So they say, these are my values, and they act according to those values. The other piece, and it's kind of a four-prong approach, so individuals who lead with integrity, individuals who focus on the good of the whole and make a positive impact in others.
Wow.
That, in my mind, is the definition of a values-based leader. The key here is to be congruent, to have your actions be aligned with your values. For example, if I, as a leader, tell my employees, you are the most important part of this company, and then I turn around and I disregard my employees when they need me the most, if I'm too busy for them, if I don't pay attention to them, if I don't focus on them, then my actions are being incongruent with what I'm saying my values are. It's that congruency between my actions and my values that create trust in my organization. And people like Stephen Covey talk a lot about trust and how in business, when you increase trust, you increase productivity, you increase the bottom line. And so the values-based leader, values is at the base of creating trust in organizations in your personal life as well as in your business life.
That's pretty good. You know, I mean, again, for all of our listeners out there, I mean, we have some of our listeners who are women who own businesses, Betty, some of our listeners, you know, are career women and they work for an organization. But, you know, if somebody works for a company or if they're a leader themselves on any level, what are some things that we might be, now I'm not going to put we in there because I want to say I'm a congruent leader, but if somebody is incongruent, what are some things maybe that you could help us with tips on how to identify that we really need to look at being more of a value-based leader and seek out some of the ideas in your book? What would be some things that make us incongruent as a leader, female or male?
I'll give you a story of one of the people that's highlighted in my book.
Ooh, I love stories.
I got off the phone with Admiral Raquel Bono this morning, and today she is out of D.C. We're going to be meeting next week. And she is a surgeon by trade, and she is in charge of the health care for the military in the United States.
Wow.
She was in war, and she was in the middle of missiles. If you can imagine, missiles are going all over you, and you have to operate on a man to save his life. The first instinct Raquel had was, how do they expect me to operate in the middle of war with all these missiles? And then she checked herself and she said, wait a minute, I joined the military to save lives. I'm going to save this life no matter what's going on around me. So she proceeded to save this man's life. She operated in the middle of missiles. And I think of this story often because we as leaders get put in a pressure cooker where we have to make decisions on the spot or we have to make big decisions and we gather a group of people to do so. Congruency and incongruency are a funny thing, but when we lead with our values, when we know and we're clear about what is important to us in our business and our personal life, then people like Raquel, who said, wait a minute, I joined because I wanted to save lives. I'm going to save this life no matter what's going on around me. You get centered. We get anchored into what is of value to us. What is it that we value most? I talk to my employees and I tell them, my values are God, family, job, education, health, and community in that order. when I say that, my family comes before my job. Well, people say, well, how do you do that?
Right. That's my next question.
It's very simple. So here's something that your readers could take with them. You know, a lot of women, we are mothers and we are multitaskers, and we get called upon to do a whole lot of different things. And our children are probably the most important thing to us. For me, my children are very critical. And so what do? I want my children to know that they're important by my actions, not because talk is cheap. I also want to be able to be 100% when I am working at the bank or working or speaking or being with you, for example. So what did I do? I taught my children when they were little. If you need to interrupt, and if I'm in a meeting and you need to interrupt or at a gathering and you're with me, you put your hand over my shoulder and leave that hand on my shoulder. I will then touch your hand to let you know I got you. I finish the conversation, and then I say, excuse me for a moment, and I turn around and I say, what do you need, princess? She knows that I got her. The person in front of me knows that I have my attention to them. Now, that's when they were little. Now they're bigger, and now I'm in meetings, at a board meeting with top executives, and say they need me because they're now in the university. Then they send me a text. Mommy, I have a question. If it's a 411, if it's a 911, a 411 is a question. If it's a 911, if it's an emergency, they know that it means that I'm sitting with the President of the United States and they need to interrupt. That's an emergency. I've had situations like that where I've sat with the president of the bank and the phone rings and I say to the president, excuse me, this is my daughter. Now, I have to set myself up in a place where I know that the values of the company align with my personal values. If I don't, then I'm setting myself up to lose and I'm not going to be happy where I'm at. So I'm very careful about the type of people I surround myself with. When I came to my company, I did a cultural study, and I made sure that the value system of California Bank & Trust, that the value system of Zions Bank Corp, and by the way, Harris Simmons, who's our chairman, is highlighted in the book because I do consider him a values-based leader. And so I make sure that I am completely aligned with the people that surround me to be able to do my job and do it in integrity with my own self, with my own values. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And, you know, I mean, I'll tell you, Betty, one of the reasons I love doing this radio show is we hear such great information from thought leaders like you. And, I mean, and again, out of full disclosure for our audience, I've heard, you know, you in such a great place because we had you on one of our panels a few years ago, and you were phenomenal. And here you are now with your book. But I know that there's women who are listening that they work in organizations where they don't feel there is that alignment. And I would love for you to maybe make a few, question, based on what you know and how you manage people and the roles that you've played, what would you suggest to a woman that feels like, man, I don't think my values are in alignment with what goes on at the organization I work with? Or maybe there's a business owner or a CEO that's saying, gosh, I don't know that I've ever looked at my business model that way to make sure I'm bringing on the right people that fit the values and the value alignment that we want to set with our company. Can you offer some tips on that of what people could do that are our fabulous listeners?
Absolutely. If you are a business owner, we do some roundtables with our top business owners, and we talk about leadership. And one gentleman realized, I believe it was over a 400% increase in profitability once his company aligned with his values. And we had a roundtable around purpose and values.
Can you say that again? Because like 400% gets my attention. Can you say that one
more
time?
Yes, absolutely.
So everybody hears you. This is important. This is important, listeners.
So I have a saying, and Gloria, my assistant, put this actually engraved it on a stone, and it says, when your actions are congruent with your values, your decisions will always be right. So if you think about your organization and think about your organization at the same way you think about your family, because it's your business family, when you are completely aligned, when everybody is marching into the same vision, then the throughput is going to be a lot faster because you don't have to take time to explain, well, let me tell you why you need to do this because this is what's important to the company. Everybody already knows what's important to the company, so the decisions that are made are very quickly. So if I were a business owner, which I've been an entrepreneur since I was 19 years old, and as a business owner, I can tell you that when I hire people, And I feel like I'm an intrapreneur at the bank. When I hire people, the first question I ask people is, what do you value most? What's your story? It's a fantastic question. Let me tell you my story. And I tell them about my values through my story, through my life story. And then I say, okay, well, tell me your story. What do you value most? When you begin,
do you find that stumps people when you ask that? Do you find that a lot of people are a little bit, whoa, I don't know, I've never been asked that?
Many people haven't, and that's why I ease them into it. I tell them my story first. And that's why it's unusual for an employer to tell their personal story. But I think it's part of my value system. I am Betty. The executive vice president is just a title. That's not who I am. That's what I do. I want the individual in front of me to understand who Betty is. What are Betty's values? How did Betty grow up? Betty's not just this person in the Eiffel Tower that you can't touch. Betty's someone who's here to inspire me, to open up doors, and to lead me into higher levels than I've ever experienced in my life. So by doing that first, then they will tell me their story, whatever they feel comfortable with telling. But that is how I personally find out what they value most and if their values are congruent with ours. The other piece I talk about is in our industry, how do you make decisions? How do you know what kind of customer you want to go after? What do you value most in your customers? That tells me, are they aligned with what we look for? And so the congruency between your values and what you do becomes very simple. As a business owner, I would have my values and the values of the company displayed in the open. I would talk about them. I would operationalize them. Because they come into play when you're making decisions, Michelle. If I'm making decisions about, am I going to buy a company? What kind of a company do I want to buy? Am I going to sell the company? Am I going to buy this? Am I going to enter into this type of industry with this individual? I need to know. It's very much like a marriage. You start dating the person. You start understanding, okay, what's important to them? What do they value? Oh, they like to go to this kind of place. Well, I don't like to do that. I like to do this. They are of this religion and I'm in a different one, and I don't like that, or I do like that. And so you have this dance, what I call the dance. It's the same thing with the people that you surround yourself with.
I loved pieces of your book because I'm still reading your book, but one of the parts that it's like I went to immediately was the part where you talk about your top 10 guiding principles. And before I kind of ask you the question on that, I'm really, you know, for me, some of those interviews that you did and the tips that they gave, how did you go and determine who you wanted to interview and talk to? And, you know, I think we were talking even before the show is how did you connect with these people at such a high level, you know, and get access to them?
Okay, so I think those were a couple of questions. So first...
I'm so sorry I do that. I ask five questions at once. You'll have to forgive
me.
So
okay,
split them up for me, Betty. Sorry about that.
All right. No, that's okay. How I chose the leaders was part of the dissertation study. And they had to be known as values-based leaders by the definition that I came up with. Leaders whose actions are congruent with their espoused values, lead with integrity, focus on the good of the whole, and make a positive impact in others. If they were known by that in their industry or in their community, they had to be recommended to me as such, because there had to have been already a brand that was already established where these leaders were already known as people of integrity, people could count on, individuals who really inspired by being integrous in their personal and business lives, all of that. And they had to be CEOs, C-level executives, or generals in the military. I happen to have run into, or really not run into, but I happen to have interviewed military generals from the White House and the Pentagon, and my purpose was just to really get as high up as possible, just to really understand what goes on in their heads and how can we learn as we learn in our leadership journey and begin to climb up the leadership ladder. That's how I chose them. The guiding principles, or what I call Dr. Betty's top 10, are the top 10 things that I found as recommendations for people as leaders, as owners of their company, as individuals who aspire to be great leaders. And those are just some things that were very common amongst all of the leaders that I interviewed. In the book, there are 19 leaders, men and women, in those three different areas. And so these are the commonalities between them. And the last question I asked them when I interviewed them was, what would you like to leave the audience with, the people that are going to be reading this, because they probably want to know? And so these came out of those types of questions.
Was there anyone that you interviewed, Betty, that really surprised you on something that you went, wow, this is, I mean, you know, because again, leadership is leadership, and, you know, I mean, it's such a big, big thing, you know, I mean, everybody's aspire, you know, that wants to be better as a leader, there's many resources for it. So I'm kind of curious, I mean, for you as a leader in a financial institution, California Bank and Trust, is there something that was shared with you in one of your interviews that you went, oh my gosh, that's just new and a different perspective, or something that kind of caused you to pause and go, wow?
You know, Matt Toledo comes to mind, and everybody surprised me with something, and I can tell you stories about so many of them. I'm going to choose Matt Toledo this time, because as the CEO of the Los Angeles Business Journal, he's viewed as one of the most powerful or most well-connected men in Los Angeles. When I met Matt many years ago, I thought he is going to be untouchable. It's going to be really tough to reach him. And what would it be like to have a personal conversation with him? What I found that was really disarming, Michelle, he is such a humble man, and so willing to help. Mm. And last thing that was really surprising is how many women he mentors.
Really?
Yes, very high-level women. And the last question he asked me was the very first question I asked you before this interview, and I learned that from him, and I do this with every person I meet. And he left me with, I have a question for you. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? The people
I love that question, and love that that's, you know, the way somebody at that level rolls. Do you know what I mean? Because that's pretty powerful right there, just that alone.
It is because the enigma that we have about high-level leaders is that they got there because they pushed somebody aside, or they got there because they ran in front of somebody, and that isn't necessarily so. The people that I interviewed got there because they were hardworking people who were very humble. The humility was amazing to me. Even 4-star generals from the Army and from the White House, people that were out of the very highest levels, their humility and their willingness to help and to just be of service was absolutely astounding.
Wow. That says something. I mean, that really does. That, you know, there's a book out there about, you know, nice people, and everybody always thinks nice doesn't work, but there are people that are nice in business that get ahead. So, you know, here's a question, because I know this is the pre-part of your book launch. I'm not sure, is your book available? Are you taking pre-orders? But can you share with people if they want to get your book, hashtag values, the secret, you know, to top level performance in business and life, where can people go to get the book? Is it on Amazon, or how do you want people to raise their hand, Betty, if they've got questions or want to reach you, or I hope purchase your book?
Absolutely, and thank you for asking. They can certainly go to my website, drbettyuribe.com. It is going to be available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The book launches on Tuesday, the 17th.
Yay.
And so we're very excited about it. We get to unveil the book at one of the presidential inauguration galas next week. So we're very, very excited and deeply humbled to be able to make an impact. And something you should know, Michelle, is the proceeds of the book are going to raise funds for scholarships for underserved kids. It's my way of paying forward a $500 scholarship that my brother Fernando gave to me when I had no money to go to college and no money for anything, but I really wanted to go. And so it's my way of paying it forward, and for generations, because the kids that receive the funds will have to actually pay it forward themselves.
That's so it's amazing.
It's a wonderful cause.
So I think doing business is good, but doing good is good business. So it's always, that's a rhyme on
that.
A half,
yes.
But, right? Yeah. I mean,
yes,
that's what I love most
absolutely.
About women
Can I
in
quote
business.
You on that? I like that.
Absolutely. Use it anytime.
Yes.
I've heard it before. I wish I coined it. But, you know, one thing I know you are a big believer in is about mentoring and how important mentoring has been to you, and how you provide great mentoring to some of the individuals, both men and women, that work with you and for you at California Bank and Trust and in your career. Can you maybe kind of say, you know, a few just words of what, you know, someone can do if they're looking for, you know, someone that might be a mentor that has like congruent values and they're looking to advance or lead? And I know I asked 20 questions in there, but mentoring is a big deal to you. And I know you have maybe a few slices of advice to give some of our listeners on finding a great mentor.
I think mentoring and having a mentor and having a champion are very important, and there's a distinction between the two, Michelle. A mentor is someone who guides you in your leadership journey, and a champion is the one who puts their brand on the line for you. I would highly recommend that your audience find one of each. Every leader I interviewed has mentors and is a mentor, has champions, and is a champion. I think the best way to find a mentor or find a champion, depending on where you want to go, is look in the newspaper. Look at the people that are getting promoted or buying their next company. Look at where you want to be in 10 years and find a person who's already there. Pick up the phone or get on LinkedIn. It's really easy on LinkedIn to get directly to them. People get directly to me on LinkedIn and to anybody. And say, I noticed that you just got promoted. Congratulations. Can I have 5 minutes? If they don't have 5 minutes, ask them for 60 seconds. Everybody has 60 seconds to give away. And in that 60 seconds, ask them, can I have 5 minutes? I really want to talk to you about the possibility of having you mentor me. So that is probably the best advice that I can give. Get a mentor, get a champion, be a mentor, be a champion.
I love that distinction because you're right. I mean, everybody knows the term mentoring, but, you know, finding a champion, somebody that actually talks you up, and I like when their neck is on the line, that is a good person. And you probably at least on one hand, you probably would have only one or two over your career or your business life. Am I right? There are very few and far between.
Actually, Michelle, I have many. And I have had many throughout my career. I have a mentor and a champion in every area of my life. So if you think about me as a mother, I have mentors. As an executive, I have a mentor. In sports and recreation, I have a mentor. In my job, I have a mentor. For my leadership, I have a mentor. For traveling. And it, depending on what part of my life I am in, I am currently enrolled in Marsha Weider's leadership program. It's my second year. She actually worked with 3 U.S. presidents. I'm in a different place today than I was in 5 years ago. So she's currently my mentor, and she lives in Rome. I'm actually going to visit her when I'm at the Vatican. And so she has imparted in me wisdom that at this stage of my career has catapulted me to a whole nother level. 10 years ago, my mentors and my champions looked differently. So we need to be wise enough, just like we do in our business. We have a CPA when we're starting the business. When the business is a $1 billion business or a multi-million-dollar business, maybe you've outgrown that CPA and those advisors. So really do that for your personal life as well as your business life when you find mentors and when you find champions.
I love that. And I also, it sounds like, you know, to be more purposeful about, you know, reaching out to those that you are really specific about what you're looking for. I mean, that's kind of what I caught in the different people you talked about and what they bring value to for you. Amazing, amazing, amazing. You are
absolutely
amazing, Betty, and I wanted to say hashtag values. I hope you're taking that Twitter focus with hashtag values.
Absolutely,
it's amazing.
Yes.
Oh, I love
yes.
it. Everything's about social media today, isn't it? Oh, my God. Your book
yes,
is awesome.
Is.
And I want to say again, we're done with the show, but I wanted to say to all of our listeners, make sure and get the book hashtag values. The Secret to Top-Level Performance in Business and Life. And Betty, you are an amazing leading lady, and I can't thank you for taking your time to be on our show. To all of our listeners, I want to say thank you to you. We love your loyalty. It's a whole new year. I love this time of year, so I hope you have a rocking 2017, because here we are and the year has started. And we are here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. for Women Lead Radio, and next week our leading lady is Julie Ducharme, and we are going to be talking about, she is a book author and a thought leader and leadership consultant, and Julie is going to be talking about leading by my ponytail. Why can't I wear pink and be president? So I think we're in for a fun show, and just again, Happy New Year to our listeners, and we will see you again on Women Lead Radio.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.